Oh, it started.
So basically, I was saying that my project is about uniting tandem and pro, and it's about supporting methods of providing care that patients need and not providing care that they don't need, specifically for new doctors. And so I'm describing the resource, the type of resource one needs for help as a new doc to be able to buck convention, basically. And finding evidence that's unbiased and that's available for patients to use to make decisions is hard. And typical resources that are easily available, like Hippocrates and Medscape, are handy, but they're basically dressed-down drug company ads. UpToDate is much better. It's not funded by drug companies. It's peer-reviewed, but its evidence base has been criticized, and it basically amounts to expert opinion. Unfortunately, professional society guidelines are not much better. Their evidence has been criticized a lot lately, and that's probably related to the fact that these professional societies have a strong interest in protecting the revenue streams of their physician membership. Quality metrics are appealing because they're ostensibly tied to outcomes that matter for patients, but in reality, their evidence is quite poor as well. And they're originally designed to serve as means of comparing different insurance plans, not means of actually connecting with what patients' goals for treatment are. Fortunately, there are a bunch of alternatives out there. The NNT.com is an independent evidence review site. So is Wiki Journal Club. And the Best Science Medicine podcast is a nice and reasonably comprehensive compendium of evidence reviews that are all independent. The trouble with these, as you can see, is that when these independent groups try to make reference materials and they don't have a lot of financing, the materials that they put together are not terribly polished and can be difficult to access, difficult to bring to bear at the bedside, at the point of care. And so it's hard to really instill confidence, particularly in new physicians, to be able to rely on these sources instead of, you know, more flashier sources like UpToDate. And also, unfortunately, all these materials that I've discussed really don't have a means of truly engaging with patients. They're a means of informing doctors to make recommendations for patients, but they don't reach out to patients directly and help them make their own choices. So enter Tandem Health. This is a partnership between Consumer Reports and the National Physicians Alliance. And Consumer Reports has a long history of being very independent, not accepting any industry financing, and instead doing their testing on their own to find out if basically consumer products are worth their members' time and effort or not. What they've done is they've created Tandem Health, which is available in beta form now. If you go to tandemhealth.org, and this is an app for smartphones, and it's also a web-based version that you can access on your laptop that's specifically designed to be unbiased evidence that's available to support patient decisions. Just going through a couple screenshots, you can see that up at the top, there's a consumer or patient-facing side of this app and a clinician-facing side. You can toggle back and forth. So it's also, it's designed to address conditions that are prone to overtreatment, and it even has a section of the module that includes recommendations for what not to do in addition to what to do for different conditions. The language in Tandem is broken down into absolute numbers, which helps patients get a better sense of what their risks are and what the benefit is. So there's always a number needed to treat and a number needed to harm for any treatment recommendation. And there's even recommendations or information about how much different drugs cost. So it's independent, unbiased evidence in a format that's very useful for patients. So my goal was to create a process to combine the aligned missions of Tandem and PRO. And specifically what I try to do was create a toolkit for PRO members to contribute content to Tandem Health. Tandem is currently in the beta phase, and they only have material for a handful of topics, and they're basically looking to expand the content and expand the usage. So my goal was basically to reach out to the PRO chapters, to recruit some membership to start working on this kind of material, and also to develop, become familiar with Tandem as a tool that PRO members could use to support their mission. Unfortunately, I spent most of my time getting an understanding of what's involved with creating content for Tandem by developing a module myself, which turned into a much larger task than I anticipated. I should have seen it coming because I chose type 2 diabetes, which was quite a bit of work, although I had some background I'd already taken a bunch of steps. But nonetheless, by the time I really had the process worked out, it was pretty late in the academic year, and a lot of the PRO chapters had already been involved in their own projects and wrapping up their own projects. Nonetheless, I've got a YouTube video, which is basically a recruiting video that describes how Tandem and PRO go together and what the basics are of creating a PRO template. Creating a Tandem module. I also have a basic toolkit or a basic guide, which again explains why, and then runs through it a step-by-step process for choosing a topic, choosing collaborators, and ultimately submitting material. So basically I've been able to reach out to two of the PRO chapters. My plan for the rest of the year is to keep on reaching out to folks and try to snag some membership. My grand vision for this is to have a landing page where folks can basically bring in a lot of the material from these other independent websites that I was discussing, like NNT.com or Wiki Journal Club, and to really use those first steps to kind of bring everything under one roof that's basically under the Tandem roof that can be used at the bedside, can be used at the point of care, that's easy and basically confidence building for young docs. And hopefully something like Tandem could become the answer for UpToDate. That's it. Thanks.
Great, Aaron. Thanks so much. I don't know if Becky wanted me to facilitate our question and answer period, but I'm going to just take the initiative and do that. So anybody have any particular questions for Aaron or comments about an excellent presentation?
Yeah, hi, it's Tracy. Good job, Aaron. My question to you, ACP had something called Smart Medicine, similar to Smart Medicine a few years ago, and we actually stopped it because it was supposed to be something just like what you're saying, a point-of-care tool, something you can even use at the in the ambulatory care setting. Have you tried DynaMed? That's what we switched to now. Have you looked to the way that they aggregate their resources and then the way they're used as a point-of-care tool?
Yeah, I looked at DynaMed also. It is a great evidence tool. As far as their point of care support for patients, I haven't seen much functionality in that area. Do they have that, like a basically a help patients see whether the number needed to treat, number needed to harm, and whether or not they want to make that risk-benefit trade-off.
So your the tandem answer that you're proposing is more so kind of like the core to research, like having patient engagement, and something that patients can actually understand at the point of care as well.
Yeah, that docs can say, you know, docs can say, you know, I'm not going to just, like, hit you with all my recommendations. I'm going to put them in front of you in a way that you can, you know, have an informed choice that I'm helping you with, but I'm really, you know, I'm showing you what risks and benefits are and what the costs of the meds are. And those elements that are typically left out of things like DiaMed or UpToDate where it's a bunch of, you know, management suggestions. I think DiaMed's awesome. It's much heavier on evidence. I mean, personally, I like it better than UpToDate, but it still kind of lacks that patient support element. But smart medicine, I'll look into that. It sounds real interesting.
Well, it's something we stopped it, or ACP has stopped it since then, because it wasn't as helpful, people, the feedback that they were getting. But it sounds like the tandem, the project you're proposing is a lot better in helping patients in that manner. And I had another follow-up question in terms of, like, health literacy. I know you have, like, numbers needed to treat, number needed to harm, but it'll be, I guess, worded in a way that patients can understand that. Do you think that's for, like, the average patient or a patient with at least a high school education, or have you thought about that?
So that's the Consumer Reports is doing more of the page. So that's the clinician window.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a clinician-facing version of the app, and then there's a patient-facing version. And so the language of the patient-facing version is different and less technical.
I see.
So the idea is that the clinician can look and say, oh, wow, number needed to treat, number needed to harm, and then can explain that, you know, to the patient and say, look, if there was, you know, just walk them through. If there's 150 people like you who took this medicine, you know, one of them would avoid a heart attack over the next 10 years. That's the idea.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Other questions? I have one, Aaron. You talked about how much time and effort you had to put into developing the diabetes module. I have no doubt that you're correct in that assessment. You know, content, managing content that's forever changing is a huge task. What's the business model for this in terms of being able to recruit sufficient number of people like yourself to constantly be looking at the content, updating it, and so on?
Yeah, that's a great question. I guess I assume that there would be kind of updaters would be different than the submitters. So in other words, you would kind of submit the diabetes module, review it, ultimately publish it, hopefully, and then it would be somebody else would be updating it. When I talked to the Tandem folks, they didn't expect me to be. That certainly wasn't in any discussion we had that I would be the updater, but I didn't think to ask them. It's a great question, and that is obviously, I would almost say, perhaps the Achilles heel of these things is that the updating is more work than anything else.
Right. I mean, I think up to date, if I'm not mistaken, there is a financial compensation mechanism that they have in place to keep it fresh.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, is that what's in the plans for this as well, or some other means of providing incentive?
They, I haven't asked. They pay like around $1,000 to do a module if you as a first time, you know, contributor. But I don't know that they have a paid staff. Like, I know that UpToDate will, you know, you're salaried to write for UpToDate. All right. And you're and as a salaried writer, you're also updating. I have not asked how Tandem is doing that. That's a great question. I'm sure they found a very equitable, independent method of doing it.
Right.
And I know part of the content in the work that we are doing with Consumer Reports in relationship to this includes updating and information that comes from Consumer Reports that's connected in the along with the Tandem information. And they are soon will be releasing more information for everybody to know about Tandem. There's some new stuff in the works.
Great.
So stay tuned.
Anthony, I thought you might want to chime in as the pro on that perspective.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. You know, I confess, Steve, you stole my question, but I did have a similar one. Aaron, yeah, this really is exciting, and I think the most exciting thing about this presentation is that you're really shedding light on potential bias in sources that I really was likely to accept on faith, like UpToDate. You know, I know UpToDate's not perfect, but I use it frequently, and I'm much more self-conscious of that now as a result of your presentation. And I thought DynaMed was the answer, but like the idea that, you know, maybe DynaMed is not perfect too is troubling. So I guess my comment with an attached question is that just like Wikipedia, this is something that the more people who use it, the better and more excellent a resource it will become, and then the more people will use it. There's a positive feedback potential here. Do folks agree with that? If given that there's a potential for positive feedback, it seems to me like there should be a tipping point or a critical mass, and I sense that we're approaching that, but we may not be there yet. And I guess my question to you is, short of paying people, which UpToDate manages to do, can we think of other ways to entice people to use Tandem and to contribute to it so as to achieve that tipping point?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And basically, I think it's a cultural thing. If this gets adopted as kind of a, just like Pro, right? Pro has that kind of hip feature to it, and you've got a pin, and you've got a sense that you are kind of have a different mission as a doctor. I think this is the exact same, it feeds into the exact same cultural element. And I think, whatever those intangibles are, if they can be accessed, then it can reach that tipping point. And I think it's mainly word of mouth. And I was hoping that kind of, you know, a YouTube video pitch would help with that.
Yeah,
I don't have any genius ideas besides that for how to incorporate it as the kind of a culture of people that are bucking the status quo, I guess.
Right. It does seem to me like we can kind of help push this Tandem idea out amongst pro chapters to get pro members looking at it and using it, the better. So I could certainly try to push that through.
Fantastic.
Any other comments or questions? If not, I want to thank you very much, Aaron, for an excellent presentation, very polished, very complete, very understandable, and very exciting. So thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Back to you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Aaron and Steve. I think we have Dave here on the line, too, that's going to help us moderate through the next part of the agenda, but just as he's coming on here, want to let everybody know you should have an email message from me that came in this evening that has a link to a SurveyMonkey evaluation that we set up for the fellowship, and we hope that you will all please take a few minutes to go through and complete that and give us your thoughtful feedback that we can then in turn take your good suggestions and make the fellowship better next year and in future years. So if you did not receive that link, send me a note and I'll get it to you. You should all also have a mock-up of a web page that we have set up through the NPA website that would to help showcase your projects and your presentations. So I think all of you have received that now. So please give it a look over and let me know if there are any changes that should be made there before we make that live. Our plan is over the next week or so, as we hear back from all of you, then to be able to put together an announcement that would go out to the MPA membership and be posted on the website that would link to the page, to an overview page on the fellowship, and people then could click in to your individual projects. So if you didn't receive your final copy on that text to review, please let me know right away on that. And then the last thing, housekeeping-wise, if any of you have had a change of snail mail address, please be sure to let me know that because we have something to send you in the mail. And personally, I just really want to thank you. This has been a different focus for this year's fellowship. Being less involved with direct work with state or federal legislators. But it's been a very interesting experience for me, and I learned a lot more about what it is that that you all do and how we can help to make care better for your patients. And so I just wanted to personally thank you all for the experience here this year with you. And please don't ever hesitate to give me a call if there's anything I can do to help with future endeavors that you undertake. So, Dave, are you here with us?
I am here with you.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Becky, for summarizing all of the housekeeping items and for getting everything together. First, I would just like to say that I have a couple of 13-year-old girls riding around in the car with me. So if you hear chatter in the background, that's what that is, and I'll do my best to mute while other people are talking. But the traffic up here is ridiculous because the Mariners went to 12 innings, and now everybody's coming home from the baseball game. But anyway, it is... great to be here with everybody. This is our last call, which is kind of amazing to me because it doesn't seem like that long ago that that we got everything started. And we just wanted to spend a little bit of time, you know, with some wrap-up. And you'll have a chance to fill out the evaluation and all that sort of thing. But sometimes it's nice to actually discuss things rather than just anonymous kinds of things in a survey. And we've made a significant number of changes this year that, you know, we shrunk the size of the fellowship in an effort to get to know all of you a little bit better. We created small groups so that one of us can even get to know a smaller group a little bit more intimately. And these are some things that we've changed and just would really like to know what worked well for you over the last year, maybe what didn't work, what we could change in future years, and that sort of thing. So so if there's anybody who would like to share, that would be terrific.
Hi, Sumer. I hope everyone's well. I really like the small group idea. I thought it was cool to be a little more, get to know some folks a little more, you know, intimately and talk a little more in depth about the projects. You know, I wish we had more chances to meet, I think, as a small group. But overall, I would agree that that's probably a good thing to keep for future years.
So a little follow-up there, Samara. So we, you know, speaking for our group, you know, we met a little bit more often at the beginning and then sort of spaced things out more at the end, I think largely because people sort of felt that the more frequent get-togethers weren't as necessary. Was that okay, or would it have been better to have sort of kept the frequency, even though maybe people didn't feel the need right at the moment?
I think frequency is just right. It's good for accountability and also just sort of for the collegiality of the group. Even though we, you know, basically everyone has lives around the holidays, and I think it kind of died down a little after Christmas, going after the New Year's. But I think probably it's still good to, you know, I think meet once a month at least in a small group.
This is Mary. Yeah, I agree with, I think our group definitely could have, the small group could have met more frequently. And I think sometimes the duration of those meetings can go down, but still having them is important to keep that accountability piece going.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other things that worked well or didn't work so well? How did you feel about go ahead. Sorry.
Aaron, just wanted to say that I was impressed with the efficacy of the calls, the monthly calls, and in particular, the one where we went through our different projects, and people were writing in the comments on the Google Doc at the same time, was really, really great.
Yeah, we made a little bit more use of various virtual group technologies this year, largely because of some of the fellows that had experience with this, and so sounds like I don't remember what it's called, the virtual blackboard or whatever it was, worked fairly well. There are other things that worked well, or maybe some of the technologies that we used that didn't work as well?
Yeah, you know, being able to hang out with some of the other fellows for the 15, 30 minutes before we had these calls, it's unfortunate that, you know, there's so many smart people in this group and we only have limited interaction virtually once a month, maybe twice a month if we're lucky. So that just gave us a chance to get to know each other. I know we didn't do it as much towards the end, but I hope you guys enjoyed the use of Google Hangouts if you hadn't used it before. And, I would encourage future years to sort of think more about building that camaraderie and getting people together, not necessarily even to just talk about projects, but things of interest in our lives and both professionally and otherwise.
I personally really enjoyed the little side chats that were going on through the chat room during many of the presentations. Thought that was sometimes pretty rich conversations going on there. Well, I would remind everybody that there's, you know, good old fashioned meetings and conferences that hopefully will cross paths at, and, you know, there'll be NPA meetings that people can go to and a nice chance to, to reconvene as a fellowship from year to year. So I would encourage that.
Is there a meeting scheduled for this year?
I think the meeting is in the spring. Is that correct, Becky?
Well, we are working on how we're going to figure that out with a new director coming on. We won't be having a big fall meeting this year, but look forward to figuring out a get-together in the spring, yes. So stay tuned for more info on that. We will keep your listserv up and going, so if you want to be continue to communicate with each other as a group, you'll be able to, you know, continue to use that listserv moving forward. And we will keep you updated about additional new opportunities to get involved with other aspects of NPA's work. I think some of you may be very interested in the work of our FDA task force. And I know, I think Winfred's touched base with the opioids work group that's part of the FDA task force. We have some folks that are doing some interesting work around high drug prices within our policy committee and some other things along those lines. So there we'll be sure to keep you apprised of future opportunities to get involved.
This is Steve. I just want to throw in my own little two cents here. One of the things I really loved this year was getting together with Jonathan and Aaron up in Boston, having coffee, having good conversation for really a good part of an afternoon. And that was only possible really because we're pretty close to each other. And maybe the idea of thinking about having clusters of fellows when we pick the fellows, thinking about how to cluster them in ways where we could encourage that sort of thing to happen. Really, really enjoyed working with Aaron and Jonathan. Brilliant young minds energizes me as well. So I think that's something to think about as well.
You know, one thing that struck me, Steve, from what you said is having an unconference. I talk about this a lot, but I've never been to one where it's the idea of an unconference. Samir probably is familiar with this type of thing. You kind of have a conference where people get together and different people give talks, and you can kind of, it's free, and you don't have to sit there and do any kind of specific programming. People can just kind of sign up, like, oh, this talk's going on over here at this time, and this talk's going over here at this time. It wouldn't need to be all NPA members, but it could be an interesting thing for NPA members to organize, maybe. So, you know, fellows could kind of find a place and invite their friends, and you know, two or three fellows got together, and they all brought their friends, and you had kind of an unconference, and you could all be talking about relevant stuff and kicking ideas around without being having to be too fancy.
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, you could certainly see something like that on a regional level. Working very well.
Do you guys have a system or a plan in place to sort of keep connected with alumni of the fellowship? I know you mentioned, like, you know, running into each other in meetings in the future, but sort of doing it more in an organized fashion.
We have had at a few of our conferences done side dinners that were bringing together the multiple years of the Capello Fellows. So that certainly could be something we arrange in future gatherings on a national level. And then we could also look at connecting you with previous year Capello Fellows that might be, you know, geographically near to you, kind of what Steve was talking about. Sadly, we don't have one in Las Vegas that we'll be able to connect you to, Sumant, but we can work on something else for you when you go back and visit Connecticut.
That's great.
And we've brought brought fellows back as you know, as teachers, as faculty for future fellowship classes from time to time, which has really been fun and rewarding. Do you have a suggestion, Tamara?
I have to think about this more, but I think it would be just interesting to have, like, a forum or even, like, you know, like a LinkedIn group or somewhere where you could have a house for a home, not a house, a home for, you know, a current and past fellows to just basically share ideas, et cetera. Because, you know, I had no idea, for example, that somebody I worked with at Iora was part of the first class of Capella Fellows, and she was super excited that I was doing it. And it would have been cool to be able to connect with other people like that who have probably done some pretty cool stuff nationally. So a LinkedIn group, maybe, or a Facebook page, something where you could connect with people like that.
We could actually try, this is Selene, we could actually try to have reunions at various big meetings. Because, like, I'm just thinking, since someone said Las Vegas, like, that's where the Society for Hospital Medicine meeting is this year. And, like, I connected with Mary and with Chris Petrelli this year at SHM. So, I don't know. If that's kind of on our radar a little bit. We can certainly organize a meetup there. I'm sure there are other hospitals from other classes, and it sounds like a lot of people are in family medicine, so that would be a way to connect as well.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I suppose that could be, you know, facilitated through, you know, a social media group or, you know, a listserv or something along those lines.
And if you make a note in your, there are some open comment boxes in the SurveyMonkey that you've been sent as far as upcoming things that you're planning to do, like what you just mentioned coming up, Selene, in Las Vegas, then mm-hmm. I could gather those up from, sorry. We made the survey anonymous because we want you all to really give your good thoughts in there, so scratch that. We cannot do that in the SurveyMonkey unless you wanted to identify yourself there. But you could send me information about upcoming events that you're going to go to, and I could put that together in a compilation list that we can circulate to the group.
Wait, Becky, what is special to your most NPA members? Like, I got the sense it was a lot of family medicine and internal medicine, but...
Yes, we do have a lot of family and internal medicine and a fair number of pediatricians, but we have a lot of other kinds of specialties also. You know, Val Arkush, a couple past presidents ago, was an anesthesiologist. We've had, you know, a variety of folks from all kinds of specialties out there.
You're right, it does tend to be heavily skewed towards primary care. But if you know surgeons and subspecialists who want to participate, please let us know. So. So let's switch gears here for a second and... So we tried to have kind of a mix of content experts along with with conference call time that was – sorry, I'm very distracted. you know, sort of more internal kind of time. And so how did that work for you? Is, you know, too much content expert, not enough content experts? Other things that we could have done with calls that we didn't do, that sort of thing.
This is Mary. I was I was really impressed by the actual content experts that we had. There were often people that, you know, we had, or at least I had read articles from, or I'd come across speaking at national meetings and things like that. So that was really cool. Some of the talks were, if you had been to a national meeting and seen them, were somewhat recycled from that. So perhaps like less, like more time for interacting with the speakers. But I thought that the quality of speakers and thought leaders that were brought was really great.
This is Tracy. I agree. I was actually really impressed, and I thought it was an opportunity as a fellow, for instance, having editors of prominent journals speak, and or how to get things published, or people that are Neil Shaw and all these other leaders. There was an opportunity to follow up later and say, oh, I'm a Capella fellow, and I heard you talk about this, and then just sort of a segue and a good way also for networking.
Hi, this is Celine. I just want to kind of reiterate what Mary said about how, I mean, I felt like a lot I'd actually gotten from other people before, but I think just because of my interest in a lot of these topics. But I have this memory of when Vinnie Aurora was on, and there was just like a quick kind of, before she started talking, I think it was Morgana was talking about her project, and Vinnie like immediately was able to connect her with the project that was going on at the U of C that was directly related to what Morgana was doing. And I wonder if there's room in the future to move it more in that direction where we can get some feedback from these national experts that may really help us kind of connect the dots even more effectively. I don't know if that's possible. I understand that might be too much to ask for people to kind of give feedback on the spot like that, but that moment kind of stays with me from the year as something that maybe could be done more of.
Yeah, thank you for that. That would be ideal. I'll have to think a little bit about that.
I was just thinking, I wonder if there's a way we can get the thought leaders on the, like, virtual chalkboard or something like that, giving feedback.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be really cool. Things that you would have liked to have done with the conference call time that maybe we didn't do? You know, gosh, I wish we would have had this or done that.
This is Celine again. The project itself, you know, like we got that up and off the ground, but now we're hitting some roadblocks in terms of publication and dissemination. I don't know if there's some way in the conference call of talking about that, but that may not have been, I don't know, the venue for it. It's a thought.
Okay. Thanks. Steve or Anthony, anything that you want to toss up there for discussion?
I just wanted folks maybe quick sort of on mute, shoot from the hip, if you could just sort of shout out any speaker who you thought was particularly like at the top of your list.
Sorry, did you ask speakers for the future? Is that what you asked?
Oh, no, I meant like who did you like the best, just very quickly.
I like Prasad.
I really like Vinnie Aurora and Neil Shaw. They were both great.
I actually got a lot out of the radiologist out of Johns Hopkins, whose name now escapes me. But that was
Andrew Durant. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that was definitely a different perspective that I hadn't heard before, and appreciated it. I mean, I love Vinny and Neil tremendously as well.
You're already drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find myself telling this story from the radiologist a lot, too, about being in the UK and then being here. And
Fighting off those orders. To have such a different perspective in place. I got a lot out of that.
Cool. Well.
Well, this is Becky. I have a question to throw out to folks. If you remember back to when we were in Washington and we had the one of the things that we had not that we tried with you all first here were the SMART goal sheets where that we worked through there early on to help, you know, kind of hone in on what your project would be and what your goals would be. How did that work for folks?
I think it was helpful for me because I was constantly sort of redefining my project throughout the year as I moved through one position to another, one state to another, one facility to another. So it was actually helpful that I started off with some goals and then ended up tweaking them and refining them to where I ended up today.
I mean, the SMART goal or the practice of doing that, I think, is really important for any project.
I thought it was helpful too to do it in advance before the meeting in October of last year, before the group meeting, so they were able to already have something to work with and discuss in the small group.
Yeah, the first small group discussion of our project was, I think, immensely helpful because I think we all learned so much from each other very early on about where we could take our project, especially when we were thinking about the pain points we had already identified. That was really helpful.
Good. Okay. Well, other comments or anything that that we didn't ask about that you feel like you want to share, or you know, parting shots?
You know, I have some parting shots. Becky whispered to me, like, maybe just say a couple words about each of your fellows, and I'm going to just go ahead and take a few parting shots. Winfried, I just want to thank you for taking on the buprenorphine project. That is a brave undertaking, and there's stigma and inertia in many institutions on it, and so I wanted to applaud your leadership and initiative. Mary, I wanted to applaud the way in which you explored your new environments, your new workplace, and really found ways to advance your telemetry project and be a model for HPC. I want to applaud your resourcefulness. And Celine, I wanted to applaud you for serving as a role model at Mount Sinai for very young and impressionable folks, and applaud your ability to inspire. Pressure's on, Steve. Pressure's on, Dave.
Yeah. Well, I've already complimented Aaron at his fine presentation today, but also just I've really, really enjoyed just communicating with him throughout the year, and I know that's not going to end. And I look forward to it, to having you as a future colleague. Jonathan, I don't think is on the call, but I also think he's a real up and coming leader. He's taken a very difficult project through to a high level of collaboration at his residency program, looking at high flyers, high utilizers, and I think it's really making a significant impact, and I'm going to keep my eyes on him for the future as well. I think he's going to be a mover and shaker. So thank you, guys. Really, we've enjoyed working with you. Teaching has always been, throughout my whole life, such a rejuvenating experience for me. I hope it's been a good one for you, but it's been great for me. Thank you. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, and I'll just say, you know, probably the most rewarding part of the year for me has been, you know, getting to know the four in my group, Samir and Tracy and Morgana and Chris. And I felt like more often than not, I was the learner rather than the mentor. And I very much appreciate the ingenuity, the creativity, the you know, the effort that was put into all of your projects, and sometimes under very difficult circumstances like moving or dealing with hospital administrators, et cetera, so tremendous you know, tremendous work from very interesting people who I hope to hear from again and again and again. So, all right. Well, it's almost 7 o'clock here, or almost 10 o'clock where many of you are, and I will just extend my thanks to all of you for a fantastic and wonderful year. We will work with, you know, all of you to hopefully create a, you know, a listserv or a some type of a chat function where we can stay in touch and at the very least work on ways to convene in the future at various meetings or other places. But it's been a fabulous year, and I, for one, have learned a ton and look forward to crossing paths.
Here.
Bravo.
All right. Anything else, Becky?
No, that's, I think, a good note to close on, unless anybody has any last questions for us. We'll let you sign off for your evening and with our heartfelt thanks and wishes for exciting futures ahead with all of you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks again, one and all.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you all.